I'm pleased that Zimbabwe continues to follow the recommendations of WHO and others, that if we have not had significant exposure to an Ebola case, then we come back and are properly monitored for any symptoms. So that's a very important policy and very important contribution of Zimbabwe.
Would you say Zimbabwe is prepared should there be a case of Ebola?
It's obviously a challenge. Even the U.S. has challenges with the Ebola case, the gentleman who passed away in Dallas. But I think in terms of having the basic public health infrastructure, Zimbabwe's in relatively good shape. We, as the U.S. government and PEPFAR, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, as well as other donors, other development partners with Zimbabwe, have done quite a bit in strengthening the Zimbabwe health system. We have information systems. We've got systems for distribution of commodities. There's been laboratory strengthening. And then, of course, since the West Africa outbreak began, there's been a number of steps taken to enhance screening at the airport in Zimbabwe. They're currently tracking hundreds of people who travel from West Africa that they're following daily to make sure they don't have symptoms.
Would you say that works, the 21-day surveillance that is in place?
That is the most effective recommended way for tracking people. I think it's important, Blessing, for people to understand that we're all globally connected. We can't just close ourselves off from these problems. If we don't get Zimbabweans and others to come here and help to control the situation here, it will continue to fester, it will continue to spread. So I think it's a very important policy step.
Lastly, how is CDC working with the Zimbabwe government?
So CDC has had an office in Harare since the year 2000. And for several years, we've been focused on implementing the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. We work together with USAID and with the U.S. Embassy. Our annual budget is over $100 million per year for HIV/AIDS in Zimbabwe. And there's also funding for malaria, tuberculosis, for reproductive health, for other conditions. But we work very closely in the technical working group and with the Ministry of Health and Child Care.
Can you tell us just briefly, what is the situation like in Sierra Leone at the moment?
There's over 2,000 cases to date here in Sierra Leone. Most of the cases initially had been in the eastern part of the country, but at this time there's fewer cases there and more now in the western part of the country, including in Freetown.
How is treatment being administered? What exactly are doctors doing there to try and cure those who would have tested positive?
There's no specific treatment. There's some work going on urgently to develop and test enough supply of medicines that are currently essentially experimental. And so it is largely supportive care. One of the great challenges is to develop enough of these actually treatment centers, Ebola treatment units, or ETUs, as we call them. And so there's currently not enough for the number of patients, and there's very active by the UK, in particular in Sierra Leone, to build facilities that would have hundreds of these treatment beds, these really carefully planned and implemented treatment facilities. So in the meantime, there's a number of holding or care centers being developed, and then we're also looking at considering actually home-based care when there's not a safe transport, an ambulance, and a treatment bed available to be able to provide that oral rehydration solution and that there are other commodities in the home, and to try to make that a safe and an acceptable care setting. It's obviously not an ideal situation, but there's currently more cases, more patients with Ebola, especially in Freetown and in a neighboring district, than the health system can currently handle.
There's been a concern about the level of assistance from the international community. Would you say there are enough resources to ensure that this disease does not continue to spread?
Well, there are resources. CDC is here. We have over 50 staff on the ground. We have staff actually out in the district. In those seven most affected districts, we do have staff. There's also other U.S. government resources through USAID, but especially the U.K. Army in DFID, also the Chinese. There's Cubans. There's funding through U.N. agencies and a lot of WHO and other U.N. agencies involved. So there are resources. It seems more the challenge is just the health systems are not strong, and then just actually getting the funding in place, getting the resources out to the community, and getting everything we'd like put in place, it just takes time.